Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Here's a headline that caught our attention this week. World Health Organization declares global polio emergency. Polio.
It is still with us. Children in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Nigeria are still succumbing to the crippling disease. And officials at the WHO say their fight against polio is at a tipping point, and that without more funding, as many as 200,000 children could be crippled by polio in the next decade.
Now, the first vaccine was developed in the 1950s and virtually eradicated the disease in this and most other countries. But the recent headline about a polio emergency caught the attention of our own Bob Oakes, host of WBUR's Morning Edition. And Bob, thanks for coming in.
Good to be here, Anthony.
Remind us, it wasn't that long ago when there was a polio epidemic in this country.
No, it wasn't that long ago. It was at its height in the 1950s here in the U.S. and was eradicated, as you said, pretty much in the 70s thanks to the polio vaccine. But in 1952 alone, there were 58,000 cases of polio in the U.S., just a huge number. It killed 3,000 people that year, and 21,000 people suffered the paralysis that comes with polio, usually in the arms and legs, but sometimes it affected people's lungs and forced those people into iron lungs, those huge contraptions that people had to go in so that they could breathe. The lungs breathed for them.
Of course, we're talking to you about this, Bob, because you had polio. What happened?
Well, according to my parents, because I was a baby, 9 months old in 1955, when I woke one morning and I was unable to move in my crib. So my parents immediately took me to a doctor, and I was pretty quickly diagnosed with having caught the disease that was sweeping the nation at that point.
So remind us what this disease does in the worst cases and what it did to you.
Well, polio can cause paralysis, or if not paralysis, it can atrophy the muscles and bones in the arms and the legs, and again, sometimes in the chest. And what it did to me was work on opposite extremities. I felt the effects of polio in my left arm and my right leg, and both of those limbs are atrophied, and both of those limbs are actually shorter than the opposite two limbs. My left arm is shorter than my right arm, and my right leg is shorter than my left leg.
Bob, I've worked with you for close to 30 years or so, I guess. I've noticed a limp and that you favor one arm, but you're as active as anyone I've ever known. How did you grow up with this? What kind of effect did it have on you?
Well, when I was a little kid, and we're talking about the elementary school years and the early junior high school years, I spent virtually every summer in a hospital. I'd go to school during the school year, and then in the summer I'd have what the doctors called corrective surgery. And largely what they did was they transplanted tendons from other parts of my body that were unaffected by the polio into the right arm and the left leg so that I could have motion, so that I could move my left arm in a not necessarily normal way, but in a useful way, so that eventually I could use it to help drive a car, and into the right leg so that I could walk more normally. But for years and years, when I was a kid, I wore braces on my legs, those heavy old metal braces, which I just hated.
Hmm. So you were born in 1954. Not too long after that, a polio vaccine came online, and yet you consider yourself one of the lucky ones. Why?
Well, when you think about it, I did not end up in an iron lung. I did not need a machine to breathe for me. I have fairly good use of all of my limbs. When I was a kid, I played a lot of stickball on the streets in Worcester and played baseball in the parks. And as a teenager and a young man, I pushed myself a lot, I think probably to try and overcome these physical difficulties. I did a lot of backpacking, climbed quite a few mountains, and have had an incredibly active life.
So let's go back to this headline. World Health Organization declares polio emergency. When you saw that headline, what were your thoughts? And why did you decide that you wanted to talk about this? Because this isn't something you have talked about a lot.
Well, first of all, I think I was stunned by the headline, especially by the notion that if polio is not eradicated in the three countries that you mentioned, where it's still running fairly rampant, Afghanistan, Nigeria, and Pakistan, that as many as 200,000 kids over a very short period of time could end up with some sort of paralysis because of polio. It's a number that just stunned me. And I thought it deserved attention, maybe as just a reminder here in the U.S., because we have sort of very much forgotten about polio because it has been eradicated here for decades and decades.
But still a problem elsewhere. Bob Oakes, thanks so much for talking to us. We appreciate it.
You bet.
And you can hear more about this story from Bob tomorrow morning on WBUR's Morning Edition. And listeners, we'd like to hear about your experience with polio. Go to our website, radioboston.org, to share your story or comment on Facebook at Radio Boston.
Up next, online education is the next big thing, and now a study says it might even help students learn faster than they do in traditional classrooms. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.